podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jones! Bowden!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket in association with LB Insurance and our look at the first day of the second test, the second LB Insurance test at Lord's, the home of cricket, the opening of the Compton Edric stand, England winning the toss and putting India in, and you thought, hooray, this is going to be a great day for England. No, not really. Actually, it was a great day for India if we take an impartial line, because I think their batting today, apart from perhaps a little bit of a struggle for Pujara, was outstanding. Simon?
Yeah, absolutely superb. Brilliant test match batting in difficult conditions. I mean, people say, oh, England put them in and they're 260 for three is a horrendous decision. But actually, it felt like a bowl first morning. It was overcast. The lights were on. There was some rain around and actually stayed like that for five, six of the day. I mean, they were good, relatively good bowling conditions all day. India would have bowled first as well. But the situation now is that India are in a fantastic position. It might spin back end of the game. They've got the chance of getting 400 plus, 500, who knows? They've got Pant tomorrow and Jadeja tomorrow. In England, it feels as if England are in a pretty tricky situation in this game. It's a great opportunity for India, and the weather forecast is good as well. So what's not to like about India's position at the close of the first day?
Yeah, and it's certainly an unusual circumstance. Well, and it's one of those things where Joe Root putting the Indians in would have been totally justified in it. But the unusual circumstance, at the end of the day, they're more than 250 for two, or actually three. They lost a wicket at the end, near the end. But, I mean, it felt like a 250 for two achievement in a way. I know there was that sort of consolation wicket, or actually quite an important wicket of Virat Kohli at the end of the day. But it felt like a two-wicket day for most of it, both of those wickets to Anderson. And it must be a rarity for England to put a side in these circumstances, perfect bowling conditions, and have so little reward.
Well, I can tell you, this is via Andy Zaltzman, 47 times that England, in a home test, have won the toss and chosen to bowl, put the opposition into bat. Today was the first time in the first innings of those games that the opponents have got to 250 with only two wickets down. So the first time ever in a home test match. So, the toss decision has never, in quotes, backfired as much as it did today. But, you know, again, I think it's worth emphasising, it did feel like a bowl first day. And yeah. The thing is about cricket, there's often that default position. Teams always bat first. You've got to have a reason to put the opposition in, haven't you? If you win the toss, that's the feeling. I suppose, what does it come from? History, received wisdom, the fact that people feel that pitches deteriorate over time, it becomes harder to bat, harder to chase. Is that necessarily so? No, I mean, I think Nathan Leeman, the England stats man, has shown that, you know, sometimes, often, that the second innings of the match it can be the best time to bat. And I think that's what England were definitely thinking that. I think they were thinking bowl first today, make decent inroads, and then the forecast is good, the pitch will flatten out second, third day. Unfortunately, the problem for England is that it's going to be India who get to bat on that second day, you know, when the pitch, you know, might well be better. And yeah, of course now the ball might turn as well back end of the game.
Of course, you know, groundsmanship, pitch preparation, such a fine art. And what a groundsman will try and do is get the pitch ready sort of almost the day before, so that it's got a little bit of moisture in it, or say on the Tuesday, and then the moisture's gradually going out of it. They might just do a little sprinkle on the Wednesday, so that by the Thursday, it's pretty dry. There might just be a little hint of moisture in the pitch on Thursday morning. And that's why they say, you know, get through the first session and then it should be a good batting pitch. That's the kind of perfect scenario for a groundsman. But if you have a bit of inclement weather on that, you know, leading into the game or on the first day of the day of the game itself, that rather scuppers your careful planning. So, you know, there was a little bit of extra juice in the pitch. The overhead conditions also perfect for bowling. You know, any bowler worth his salt, getting hold of a Duke's ball, would want to bowl in those conditions today. And actually, I don't think England bowled that badly. I think you could say, well, you know, it didn't make them play enough. But that actually negates to praise the Indian batsmen for their skill, for their quality and their judiciousness at leaving the ball. Two guys, incidentally, who you think of them as one-day cricketers in a way. I mean, KL Rahul always opens the batting for Kings 11 Punjab, amongst other IPL franchises he's played for. Rohit Sharma famously, you know, has 27 one-day international hundreds. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Including three doubles. And you don't think of him really as a test player, you know, sort of premierly or, you know, primarily. But their test batting today was outstanding. I mean, Rohit Sharma's innings today, 83, he deserved 100. You know, the way he resisted to the playing his natural game, actually, for a start, he managed to rein his own instincts in. And I think, actually, he quite enjoyed the challenge of dealing with the moving ball and what to leave and what to play and what to attack and what to defend, almost like he'd found another level in his game. You can see why test hundreds or, you know, excellent test innings, top test innings are so satisfying to players, because it isn't just see ball, hit ball, which one day cricket is. It's so much more about judgment and tempo and phases of the game and reading what the bowler's trying to do and duels between you and the bowler, field settings which change. I mean, so much there to overcome, which he nearly did until Anderson just got him at the end.
Yeah, Anderson castled him for 83, opening stand of 126. I mean, we should talk about KL Rahul, because, I mean, there's a good argument for saying that this is the in test match cricket, perhaps he, you know, he feels that that's the ultimate anyway, that this is the day of his life, because he's opened the batting today. His team have been put in really testing conditions, and he has batted throughout the whole day, and he's still there. You know, he can come back for more tomorrow. It does not get any better than that as an opening place, and at Lord's as well. So he's up on the honours board and he's batted through the first day, and the expectation is that his team would struggle in these conditions, but he's got 100. And, you know, he was played and missing from time to time. He was beaten. There was some movement out there, but, you know, he looked in control. He looked so calm and in control all day. So, I mean, there's a very good argument for saying this, you know, this has been the day of his cricketing life, really.
Definitely. And just to back up what we were saying about Rohit Sharma and his orthodoxy as well, just look at that picture there. If you're watching on video, that's a little still of a defensive shot. I mean, Geoffrey Boycott would be proud of that. Big front stride, left elbow high, playing the ball late, 45 degree angle of the bat, immaculate head position. That's Rohit Sharma, the man who, you know, takes 10 off an opening over in a one-day game if the bowling's a bit loose, has scored 264 in a one-day international, playing the most classic, you know, regal block you could ever see. And KL Rahul sort of followed suit. The interesting thing about those two guys is, you know, I've talked about their one-day skills and one-day records, and yet they don't play any differently, really. You know, you think of England's opening pair in one-day cricket, Jason Roy, Johnny Bairstow, totally different to their opening pair in Test cricket. But India tend to keep the same guys for both. And because they've got that orthodox technique where they can just free their arms and hit the ball over the top in one-day cricket and leave it or defend it in Test cricket, they're able to do both, which is pretty remarkable, really.
Just on England's bowling, Yoz, you said at the start that you felt England didn't bowl badly. And I think Robinson and Anderson, absolutely right. They didn't bowl badly at all. Wood tried hard, ran in. It's a sluggish pitch. So that, you know, in a way, he might have been negated by that. And he did actually top 95 miles an hour at one point. And Sam Curran, unthreatening, I would say. Yeah. Today. I wonder if there was a case this morning for giving him the new ball. And the reason I say that, you know, have a look for two or three overs, see if he can swing it, get onto the pads or nick off, and then Anderson at one end and Curran at the other, and then you can bring on Robinson and Wood. You know, and let Curran use the new ball, which of course is what he does for Surrey, and you know, has had some success doing that. Anyway, but Curran today, definitely not his day. And he, so there wasn't that sustained threat throughout the day. Robinson and Anderson, when they were bowling, it was a real challenge, a real test. And Wood as well, because he's got the extra pace. And there were a few short balls that Rahul was fending off. But you know, perhaps that not that sustained pressure. And Mo involved you know, quite a few overs as well. But it's a first day pitch. And he did get one or two to just go a bit, which makes you think, well, you know, this is the first day. If it's going a little bit on the first day, not much, but just going a little bit on the first day, what's it going to be doing, you know, projecting ahead on the final day, fifth day, say, if England are in pursuit of quite a big victory target. So, you know, there's that consideration as well. So, you know, everything feels as though it's in India's favour. They did get the wicket of Kohli shortly before the close, which is a bonus, and a, you know, a big one for Robinson as well, because you know, it's always great to get top players out. And there is the who's winning graphic. I see India ahead the whole day, right from the start in the who's winning graphic, and well up there. I see around about 60% after the first day. I mean, I think they're in a fabulous position in this game.
I agree.
England have to play really well not to lose this match.
Totally agree. I think that Rohit Sharma innings will have the same impact on the Test match and even maybe the series as his imperious 100 in the second Test in Chennai that very difficult pitch where he made, I think, 160, didn't he?
Yeah,
and a few people kind of got runs at the end of that innings, but he scored half India's runs. And today, 83 out of 126, and he was flawless. You know, I'm sort of eulogising about him, but I just can't praise that innings highly enough. And KL Rahul could sort of almost hide behind that for a while and bide his time. And he was pretty slow. I think he scored his first boundary only just before lunch. And it might have been that six he hit off Moeen might have been his first boundary, actually. Whereas Rohit was just steering and gliding and occasionally pulling. I think the shot of the day was his pull off Mark Wood in front of square off a 93 mile an hour ball all along the ground in front of square into the mound stand fence. I mean, a fantastic player, and he's the reason why, really, backed up by Rahul, obviously, he's the reason why India, as you say, have a 60% chance of winning the game after this first day. The draw is 30%. I mean, that's a bit random. And in England's about 10% chance of winning. So it hasn't always proved to be that accurate, this graphic, but I think probably in this match, it probably is.
Well, that's just the state of it after the first day, isn't it? I mean, that's how you see it. Things can change, and England have got to try to make it change. Otherwise, you could see India going 1-0 up in this series.
It's a beauty of Test cricket, isn't it? That it is unpredictable. LV Insurance and the ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs campaign is implementing plans to transform access to women and girls cricket across the country, with the fundamental goal of making cricket more gender balanced. In support of this goal, Funds for Runs have awarded a grant to Fawley CC near Southampton in Hampshire, who are focusing on increasing the number of female cricketers involved in their community training sessions. The club has set an objective to run girls-only dynamo sessions, which they'll use as a welcoming introduction for girls into the sport. Fawley CC is also looking to utilise the funding to ensure that cricket is accessible to girls from all kinds of backgrounds. They hope to set an example to their community by promoting and giving access to the sport to those that struggle with the costs associated with it. And actually, you know, that is a great initiative, and cricket is an expensive game. You know, to have to get helmets and pads and bats, and if you can borrow them, all the better. But the trouble is, nowadays, with the sort of sanitizing situation and COVID and everything, borrowing kit is rather tricky. So anybody who can afford their own or can get their own through a sponsor is going to benefit massively.
One thing we should talk about is the first day of a Test match, of course, which means team selection, and England making three changes today. Stuart Broad, I mean, that's quite a big blow for England out of the series. You know, he might not have played all five Test matches, but he was England's bowler of the summer last summer. Took one wicket at Trent Bridge, out for the whole summer. So, you know, England without Pope, Stokes, Broad, Archer, Wokes, Stone, you know, there's quite a bit of talent missing from the squad. Mark Wood coming in for this test match. But I suppose of more interest is what happened at the top of the order, the batting changes, I suppose. Lawrence out, Moeen in for more balance. But Hamid in for Crawley. Crawley removed from the side. You know, they could have made change, you know, another change at the top of the order, I suppose, with Sibley being taken out of the side, but he's been given one more game. But three changes. It felt as if England did need to do something with their batting line. They have done it. So the focus inevitably will be on Hamid batting at three rather than opening the batting. He opened at the start of his test match career. What do you make of that? What do you think of that change? Crawley out rather than Sibley out?
Yeah, I would have kept Crawley. And I would have had Hamid instead of Dom Sibley. It's harsh on Sibley. I just feel that Crawley offers you something a bit more authoritative as a player.
Whereas, despite the fact he's averaging only 11, you know.
Yeah, I know he is. And maybe, you know, the solution or the strategy is to give him a break. He needs a break from how to get out of the spotlight and just find his own game again. And that's fair enough a decision. I just think he's tall, he's got long reach. He's got a great range of shots. If he could just get over that difficult early period in his league, if he could be protected from the new ball for a start, because England have a habit of losing early wickets. You know, they haven't had many 50-run opening partnerships, which makes all the difference to a number three and a number four. So I feel that Crawley's a bit unlucky. I think Hamid, you know, obviously deserved a chance. It's quite interesting. Did you see the state of his fingers? He's been hit on the fingers quite a lot in his career. And he looks like a sort of somebody who's just come out of hospital with about four different protections on each hand, which is slightly concerning. I mean, maybe they're there just literally as a precaution, but he's going to be facing up to some quite severe fast bowlers. I just hope he doesn't get a bang on any of them. Oh, it's what a great story, though. What a great return, you know, having had been absolutely at the nadir of his career a couple of years ago. I think he averaged 11 or something, didn't he? One county season and sort of basically dropped by his county, Lancashire, and not re-engaged, went and joined a new county, took a year to get into sort of some kind of rhythm, and now he's back. And it's a brilliant story. And Jeffrey, of course, he was known as Baby Boycott. I see Jeffrey was there today, bending the ear of his favourite Indian, Sourav Ganguly, for half of it.
and Rishi Sunak, I think, as well.
Oh, so, God, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. The Chancellor Exchequer was there and getting the benefit of Jeffrey's wisdom as well. Well, there we go. I mean, you actually would be interested to know what was being said or whether Rishi Sunak would have got a word in.
I'll see if I can find out tomorrow, actually. I'll go and visit that box and see if I can find out. I'll get from Jeffrey what the conversation was about. Then obviously it'll only be from his point of view. Rishi would be the one to talk to actually about it, wouldn't he? What was it like actually meeting Jeffrey? He'll go on about the Yorkshireness of Rishi, won't he? Because his constituency is North Yorkshire in Richmond, pretty near where Jeffrey lives. Anyway, so yeah, interesting selection changes by England. I mean, they obviously miss Broad. Broad would have bowled well in those conditions, and that's a worry for England that, you know, he's had that injury, and goodness knows when he'll be fit again. We should give an award to someone for their In With Heart performance today. That's an LV Insurance speciality, In With Heart award. So my choices today are either Kale Rahul or I suppose Jimmy, really, for the perseverance. But we gave it to Jimmy before, so maybe we should give it to Kale Rahul this time.
I think definitely. I mean, that is an innings of great resilience. And if ever an award has been created to reward an innings or a performance, I think it's got to be Kale Rahul today. Fantastic. You know, that determination as well to see it right the way through to the close of play. So, yeah, definitely Kale Rahul today.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, tremendous application. I mean, we talked about England's team selection. What we haven't done is talk about India's team selection. And Hamid, is when he does get out to bat, he is actually going to be faced by a really testing attack. When you consider India got Ishant, Shami, Bumrah, and Siraj, and that's a pretty useful four-man pace attack. And, and I remember the last podcast we did, we mentioned this, that Coley said, you know, we like the balance of 4-1. And you said, no, they won't do that for Lords. You poo-pooed it. I remember the word you used. I think you might have cut it out. I'm not sure. Anyway, they have gone with 4-1. But I dare say, I think they could win it both ways, actually. They can win it with 4-1, or they could win it with 3-2 in the situation they are in, definitely now. And they might, you know, they might fancy having Ashwin in the fourth inning.
And the other thing is that, you know, it's a great incentive for a bowling attack. If you see after Jadeja at number 7, you see the four number 11s fighting to come in at number 8. Who's going to come in at number 8? Ishant? Or Bumrah, because he got 20 the last game.
Shami was about three.
You know, yeah. I mean, they're all pretty ordinary. So if only England could just break through this fourth wicket stand and get at Pant and Jadeja, you're sort of thinking as a fast bowler, if we can just get them five or six down, we can be putting our feet up in 20 minutes. Mm. So that's the thing that England have to go in with overnight and focus on in the morning.
Yeah, and that, I suppose that's the disappointment of them not taking early wickets, you know, in good bowling conditions this morning. And there was enough there. Sometimes it happens for you, I suppose, and sometimes it doesn't. Perhaps it's just one of those days, and India played really skillfully. On another day, you might have nicked off a couple of times, and you know, you'd be under pressure, and you would expose that tail much earlier. But anyway, it's India have got the runs in the bank. And they have got the bowling attack to put some pressure on England in the rest of this game, whether they play 4-1 or 3-2. But if you could have a super sub, I reckon Ashwin introduced later in this game would be a change that you could make. But they got enough firepower to make it difficult for England. Anyway, I think that's the realistic way of looking at it. First day, all the honours to India. I mean, that Chennai Test match, the England won so emphatically earlier in the year. At the close of the first day, they were 263 for 3 and went on to win the game on the fifth day. India 276 for 3 in a fantastic position.
Yeah, and really, only Anderson with a mercurial spell in the morning can stop them. We'll be back this time tomorrow to see if he managed it. Thanks for listening and watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.